China tells Europe to quit lording over other countries like China.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. China has more cards to play in its trade dispute with Europe. That's from today's official People's Daily newspaper. As a trade dispute between the EU and China escalates, times change and power rises and falls, the paper said. Still, this has not changed the deep-rooted, haughty attitudes of certain Europeans, according to the paper. The EU doesn't like cheap Chinese solar panels hurting its homegrown market, and China is striking back now with an investigation into whether the Europeans are dumping cheap wine on their market. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
You don't like our cheap solar panels? Well, we'll make your wine even more expensive. Xu Bin, economics professor at the China-Europe International Business School in Shanghai, says China is sending a clear message to the EU.
Chinese people are developing a taste for wine. So I think it's very deliberate for the Chinese government.
Xu says it was a calculating move that targets the wine countries of Italy, France, and Spain, but spares Germany, which has taken China's side in the solar panel dispute. Vincent Hess chats with a customer at his French wine shop in Shanghai. He's not worried about the trade dispute.
I think that it's going to be difficult for Chinese people to put really barriers for like French wine. I will say we have the much more history and much more famous wine.
And for many among China's flashy nouveau riche, a higher-priced bottle of wine provides even more incentive to buy. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Microsoft, working with the FBI, has knocked out more than 1,000 cybercrime networks that authorities say have been stealing bank info and personal identities. It's all based on an automated system using bad software called Citadel, a kind of turnkey tool for criminals. The software wrangles networks of computers together, and these automated botnets are said to have carried out $500 million of bank fraud around the world. Now let's do the numbers. Yes, Japan's Nikkei index fell 0.9%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropped 1.1%. The FT 100 index in London currently up 0.1%. Stock index futures in the U.S. are up at the moment. The Internal Revenue Service is answering questions on Capitol Hill today about big money it spent on a big conference 3 years ago. The team-building shindig used to be a staple for many government agencies, but as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer found out, they now seem like a bit of a throwback.
It appears IRS agents know how to party.
Three, four.
The IRS footed the bill for this training video showing IRS workers learning a line dance they were to perform at the conference in Anaheim, California.
I need a straight line. You're trying to get ready for Anaheim.
The video went viral. Now the IRS says travel and training expenses have dropped more than 80%. Jack Pitney teaches political science at Claremont McKenna College. He says other federal agencies known for big bashes, like the General Services Administration and Pentagon, have also cut back because
you don't want your conference or any kind of event to become a YouTube moment.
Now most government gatherings are done by video conference, but some say the big conferences are valuable for networking with industry. Larry Allen is president of the consulting firm Allen Federal Business Partners.
When you have less FaceTime together between government and industry, that ends up costing the government something in the long run.
Allen says demoralized federal workers aren't up on industry trends, so it's harder to write contracts for things the government needs from the private sector. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace. Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
Who doesn't want their government to bring in new business? South Dakota's governor was in Minnesota recently to try to charm businesses to move his way. And the governor of New York this week is looking at new tax incentives to entice companies. This must be money well spent because new businesses mean new jobs, new tax revenue. But Chris Farrell, Marketplace's senior economics guy, has been doing some reading that calls this logic into question. Hello, Chris.
Hello, David.
So you've been doing your reading in the dismal science so we don't have to?
Oh, well, let's call it the optimistic science. Now, this is a paper by Nobel laureate James Heckman, University of Chicago, and a co-author. And what they were looking at, David, is the gains to investing in early childhood education for low-income children. And let me tell you, these gains are substantial. I mean, higher lifetime earnings, lower inequality, increased college completion rates. And I looked at this and I said, well, this is what we should be investing in, right?
It sounds logical, but you connect that with publicly funded economic development somehow?
Well, here's the thing. What the states are doing is they're, you know, giving somewhere around $80 billion a year in subsidies and incentives for businesses to stay in the state and for businesses to come from California to Texas or Minnesota to South Dakota. And the research is fairly consistent. It says, look, on early child education, you get a big rate of return. And on this other stuff, you just don't.
So invest in early childhood education. You're arguing that. But why stop the economic development stuff? That's got to accrue some jobs at some level.
Well, perhaps some jobs at some level. I mean, you can take a look at some investments and they do pay off. But David, we're living in an environment where every legislature is saying resources are scarce. You're oftentimes subsidizing a business that's going to move into your state anyway because it's good business, or a business that's going to stay in your state because this is where we are. But that just improves the private sector company. It doesn't do anything for your local economy. Again, scarce resources, tough budgets, spend where you get the best bang for the buck.
Chris Farrell, Marketplace's senior economics correspondent. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, David.
And proof that we're still a noses to the grindstone culture. In a new survey, nearly two-thirds of Americans said they would not want to make their birthdays a federal holiday and get an extra day off. Why? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.